It's good to have you here with us today and those folks that are listening on the radio station. Angela, thank you for that song. That was nice. I like that song. I can't sing, but there are songs I like. If I'm singing, John, hit the volume. Today I entitled the message, Burning the Midnight Oil. It's probably a sermon similar that you've heard before. What comes to mind when I say burning the midnight oil? What do you think of? Blank. What do you think of? Okay. That's what I'm speaking on, John. I used to have my own machine shop out in a garage out at my house, and I ended up working almost, 36 hours, and then I would go to bed for a while, and then I'd get up and start over again, and had people say, if you keep burning the midnight oil like that, you're not going to live very long. So when I think about burning midnight oil, oftentimes I think about putting in extra time, putting in extra effort, maybe extra devotion to your job or to the church, or an extra sense of duty. And that's what I wanted to talk about today. That's what we're going to talk about, the story of the 10 virgins. I read a story written by George Orwell about a wasp. I don't know if any of you have read that story before, but wasps are everywhere. I don't know how you feel about wasps. I think I could live without them. I'm sure in the scheme of things they belong there for something. But in the summertime, when I'm mowing, when I'm up close to the house and the mower's throwing grass, occasionally I get stung and I don't care much for it. So I don't have much use for wasps. They build their nest in their houses, under our eaves, in our garages. Well, it seems that a wasp had flown in through a window and landed into a man's dinner plate. As he was eating his dinner, he noticed the wasp. It had landed near a slice of bread that had jam on it. Well, the man didn't care much for the wasp eating his jam. So he took his table knife and he cut the wasp in half. The wasp was so anxious about eating that it kept on eating. Somehow, that insect went on with its meal. The man observed the tiny stream of jam trickling out of the end of the severed body. Only when the insect tried to fly away did he grasp the dreadful thing that had happened to him. He couldn't fly. And I believe today there are a lot of Christians without Christ that are just like that wasp. They're dead and they don't even know it. They're severed from Christ, but they're still consuming the sweetness of the world, and they don't realize that they've been separated. And only when it's time to fly away will they really realize their dreadful condition. They will think maybe that we're lost, we're dead in the water, we're shut out of the New Jerusalem outside the city, and we can't go in. The gate is closed. Then will Jeremiah 8:20 be true of them? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. In this parable in Matthew 25:1-13, if you have your Bibles, you might want to follow along. It's the story of the 10 virgins. They were pure, righteous, undefiled. But the awful thing is that 50% of these virgins were unaware of their lost condition. They didn't realize it. Now, they had lamps. It says they all had lamps, and the lamps were burning. So what does the lamp represent? It represents the Word of God, the truth in the Bible. In Psalms 119:105, it says, "Thy Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." This story in the Bible illustrates the experience of God's church just prior to the second coming of Christ. There are going to be a lot of people that think that they're going to be saved and they're actually going to be lost. In Matthew 25:2, it says, "Now five of them were wise and five were foolish." I want you to stop this morning and notice the similarities between the wise and the foolish. All 10 dressed in white robes. All 10 were virgins. They had a pure faith. All 10 had brightly burning lights. All 10 waited for Christ to come. They knew that it was near. All 10 were ready for the coming at one point. All 10 actually slept soundly. All 10 had to be awakened with a shout. And all 10 were taken by surprise. All 10 lamps needed trimming and filled. And all 10 virgins saw the bridal party coming. Now, with that many similarities, there was very little difference between the 5 foolish and the 5 wise. They all seemed ready. If there had not been a delay, all would have gone inside because they all had lights in the beginning. But there was a delay, and that's what made the crucial difference. Jesus could have come before now. We should have already been in the holy city. God's church seems to be in a holding pattern. We're not going anywhere, it seems. And yet, I want to tell you that just the time that you think maybe he's not coming, that's the time that he'll be right around the corner. I believe Jesus' coming is just that close. If you notice, there were 10 virgins, but only 2 classes, the wise and the foolish. Well, what happened to the lukewarm class that we read about in Revelation chapter 3? You would expect there to be 2 wise, 2 foolish, and maybe 6 lukewarm. Well, the lukewarm disappear. In the end of time, there are only the saved and the lost. And that's really all there ever was. The lukewarm class disappears. They disappear because of the shaking time, the last day trials, and the time of trouble. When the train of salvation finally pulls into the station, we need to make sure that we're on the right side of the tracks. If you're on the wrong side, you'll be lost. You won't be able to board. Were the 5 foolish virgins hypocrites? No. They did love the truth. They all had the light. They all let their light shine, and they all had oil. Now, what was this oil? What does the oil represent? According to Zechariah 4:2-6, it says that it represents the Holy Spirit. Did the foolish virgins have the Holy Spirit? Yes, they did. All 10 had the Holy Spirit. All 10 were virgins. All 10 were pure Christians. And all 10 were saved, at least at one point. All 10 had brightly shining lights. What's the light that it talks about? Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." So all 10 had Jesus. All 10 were truly saved, but the 5 ran out of oil. They ran out of the Holy Spirit. The light of Jesus went out in their life. They lost their salvation. They were shut out from the wedding banquet and left in darkness. You know, once you're saved, you can be lost. I know that's not a popular belief with some, but you can run out of oil if you do not daily invite Christ to restart your heart with a fresh supply of the Holy Spirit. You know, every now and then, I notice that the refrigerator at home gets a little bit empty, so I need to go to the grocery store. And believe it or not, I even have to stop by the gas station now and then. We always have to restock. It's just that simple. One experience with the Lord isn't going to carry you through to the end of time. We need to spend time daily with Christ. Could it be that some of you are wondering about the lamps? All 10 had lamps. Probably you're thinking that they were small clay pots with a little wick sticking up out of it. Would that little lamp put out enough light for a bridal party? Small lamps would be of little value in an outdoor setting. Scholars have gone over to Palestine and done some research, and actually what they feel like is presented here is more like a torch. A long pole with rags tied on the top of the pole, and these rags were soaked with olive oil. And holding that up high provided light for everyone. Such torches consume quite a lot of oil. That little lamp you may be thinking about can last for hours. Some of them might last as much as all night. But that's not really what we're talking about here. These big torches would have to be refilled every 15 or 20 minutes. Those rags have to be soaked in oil again and held back up. If we want our light to keep shining, we must daily receive a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Now the oil is abundant. All of us can be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's no energy crisis in heaven. And how much does it cost you? Well, it's free. And yet, it costs you everything you have. A full surrender to Christ. A partial surrender is not going to get it. Look in Matthew 25, verse 4. It says, "The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps." The wise had a reserve of oil. They had a deeper experience with Jesus. It wasn't shallow. The wise virgins had a depth of spirituality not experienced by the foolish virgins. And I believe in the last days, the people that are going to be saved are going to have a deep religious experience with Christ. Not some superficial experience like we start out with when we're children. Do you remember this? "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." We need a deeper prayer life than that. We need a deeper Bible understanding, and we need a depth of Christianity that we might not have yet. Extra prayer goes into building a solid character. We need a deep relationship with the Lord. In Matthew 25:5, it says, "The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep." He delayed his coming. They thought he would be here for now, but he wasn't. The King James Version says, "They all slumbered and slept." They were all tired. You know, weddings wear you out. You ever been involved in a wedding? There's a lot that goes into a wedding. A lot of stuff behind the scenes that most of us never see. They had spent a lot of hours preparing for the coming of the bridegroom. They were all asleep at the bride's house waiting for the groom to come. Even the very elect were sleeping because of the delay. Could it be this morning that you're sleeping? Are you spiritually asleep? Are you sleeping as the King of Kings is about to come? True, there has been a delay. Perhaps some of you thought you would never have time to get married, and now you have grandchildren. But the longer the delay, the closer we are to his arrival. I think this morning that none of us should get comfortable where we are. Matthew 5:6 says, "At midnight the cry rang out, 'Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him.'" The bridegroom comes at midnight, the darkest time of the night, and we're told that the second coming of Jesus will come during the darkest period of Earth's history. And I believe it's closer than we think. In fact, you can see it coming. With all the terrible things that are going on out there in the world, when crime, drugs, immorality, and sin and wickedness are at its peak, the end of all things will come crashing down. Susan handed this out this morning. I don't know if you got one or not. I suppose they're in the foyer. This is a Religious Liberty newsletter that she puts out. And it just gives you an idea of some of the things that are going on in the world today. And even I try and keep abreast of what's going on, and many of the things that she puts in her paper I've never heard of. It's just a sign of the times. Matthew 25:7 says, "Then all the virgins woke up at the midnight cry and trimmed their lamps. They needed to replenish their lamps with oil. They needed to burn the midnight oil. We need to do the same thing. If we're planning on being saved, I think there's no time to waste. Now, can you find oil at midnight? How many of you have ever run out of gas at night? Pleasant experience, isn't it? Most times you don't even have a container. And so you're walking. I know it happened to me over in Arlington, a little town of 400, and it happened out in the country. And I had to go up and knock on the farmer's door, and he was tickled to death to see me. He actually gave me gas, took me back to the car, and stayed there till I poured it in and got the car started. But it's hard to find oil at night. All 10 virgins had run out of oil, but the wise had spare reserves of oil. They had extra oil. You know what this extra oil was? It was an extra measure of the presence of God in their lives. It's a depth of religion that is hard to find these days, and that's what we need. It will carry us through. We need, if we're not already, to become people of the Bible. You know, they took a survey of Adventist students at the seminary and said, write out the Ten Commandments. Do you know how many of them got it right? Very few. 2 out of 10. 2 out of 10 wrote all Ten Commandments down right. Could you write out the Ten Commandments? I'm not saying that's a requirement to get to heaven. I'm just saying if you know them that well, then maybe you've been reading your Bible. We need to be able to know the Scriptures. Oftentimes I find myself in a situation I think, you know, I've heard that, I've read that somewhere, but I don't know where it's at. And I can say, well, somewhere in the Bible it says, that's really impressive, isn't it? It'd be nice if we knew the Scriptures well enough that we could spit them out. Matthew 25:8 says, the foolish one said to the wise, give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out. But what did the wise version say? It said, no. They replied, there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. Actually, you can't share oil, not this oil. Can you give anyone else your Christian experience? Some of you would like to. I know you would. My wife said that. You can't save somebody else. You can't transfer the saving experience that you have to your wife or to your husband or to your kids. Christianity cannot be transferred or sold. Each must get the saving oil straight from the source. The wise virgins could not transfer their saving experience to the foolish. Character is not transferable. They couldn't share the oil. Now you can share Jesus, and by all means, please do. But you can't transfer your own walk with the Savior. Everyone must gain that for themselves. No one can be a Christian for you. Not your mother, not your father, not your wife. Are you a Christian? Are you ready for Jesus to come? By the way, did they find any oil? Matthew 25:10-12 says, but while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. Sir, sir, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Did the foolish virgins find oil at midnight? No. Christ Object Lessons, page 406, says they were left standing without in the empty street in the blackness of the night. After probation is closed, the Holy Spirit is no longer available. After the time of trouble really begins in earnest and the plagues are falling, do you really think there will be time to develop a Christian experience? There will come a time when it is too late to seek salvation. If you wait until the time of trouble or some end time event to take place, then you've waited too long. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, now is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you need to make your life right with Christ. How is it with you today? Is your lamp getting dim? Is your light beginning to flicker? Is your walk with Jesus lacking or non-existent? Are you satisfied to live in this world without a Savior? As your brother in Christ, I want you to know we're going to need a Christian experience that we might not now have. I can't speak for each of you, but I need to make some changes in my life. As Christians, we cannot be satisfied with minimal Bible study, minimal prayer time, and minimal surrender to the Lord. Now is the time to have a full experience with Jesus. Empty tank Christianity will leave you stranded, just like an empty gas tank will. If you wait, someday you may be left outside, stranded, forever lost. In Matthew 25:13, it says, therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. We don't know, do we? At one time in our denomination, we thought we knew, but we didn't know. We know it's soon, but we don't know when Christ's coming back. Someday soon, Jesus will come in the clouds of glory. If the lamp of God's light burns in your heart, you will get to go home with the Son of God forever. And what a day that'll be. In Matthew 8:11, it says, many will come from the east and the west and will sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. We ought to make sure that we're there. We need to surrender our will to Jesus, repent of our life of sin, and ask for forgiveness. We need to accept Jesus as our personal Savior and then trust in him from that day forward. John 3:17 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We need to get ready now and to stay ready. It won't be long and we'll see Jesus face to face. Our home is heaven, and I long to go home. Don't you?